Let's turn in now in God's Word to Acts, the book of Acts, and chapter 17. The book of Acts, chapter 17, we'll be reading verses 22 through verses 32, 22 through 32. And before we read God's Word, let's pray and ask for His blessing upon us. Our Father, we give You praise again that You are God who continues to speak to us. What grace You show to us that we are undeserving of. And Father, we ask that even now, that as we learn to discern the ways of the world, that You would teach us to do so by Your Word alone, and that Your Word would reign true in our hearts, each one, and that we would not fear the world or the ways of the world or what's happening, but that we would fear You, the living and true God, bowing to You alone and exalting in Your Word, which You graciously speak unto us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Acts 17, verse 22. These are God's words. And Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God,' whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, Him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, 'For we are also His offspring.' For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. In the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained. Wherefore He hath given assurance unto all men in that He hath raised Him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, 'We will hear thee again of this matter.'" Those are God's words. There are, as we summarize what we've heard, there are corporate sins. We read them of them here. And the need for corporate repentance, we read of that here as well at the end, for those in Athens. There are covenants that are made that are binding on the generations. That includes treaties and covenants and agreements and contracts, etc. We also learn that truly the sins of the fathers are imputed unto the children, this being very central to the gospel of our being in union with Adam. And then if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that the sin, guilt, and punishment of that union with Adam imputed to Christ for you there at the cross. The sins of our fathers imputed to us when we do not turn to the Lord and repent of those sins, but continue in them in the same way as our fathers. And so what we need when there is sin in a corporate body, when sins are pervasive or widespread amongst the nation. A nation must repent corporately, beginning with the leaders, as we've learned. So now as we come to our nation, we consider why we started the series a few months ago in the first place. And what many of you have heard in the news, or in passing, or in school, when you're educated in the public schools today, you may have heard this. Perhaps even in the church you have heard this, and that of critical race theory. I do not enjoy spending a lot of a sermon telling you what a false teaching is, but it seems today we need to learn what it is. I think many of you do not understand it and don't grasp it fully, so we're going to go over it. And remember where we started a few months ago? We started addressing cultural Marxism and critical theory. We talked about that and then went into marriage and how these things are attacking marriage and the family and things like that. The Frankfurt School and its designs to corrupt the morals of society and the church, and even through political correctness or niceness. And today what you find in the church is a culture of niceness, especially our denomination. Not love, niceness. To be politically correct. And that has come to attack, to corrupt and destroy the Lord's institutions of family and marriage and parenting and education. And today even the Church of Jesus Christ, but of course the nation as a whole. This is, if you remember, we introduced that sex education. We talked about this. It began by introducing sex education in schools, taking that away from parents, giving it to schools, taking kids away from God's Word, which was taught in schools, and giving that to the schools to teach their worldview, which is that critical theory or cultural Marxism worldview. And you teach them immoralities. You break down their morals and you build them up in wickedness. It's the work of the devil. You remember at the very foundation of all that's happening today, all these atrocities that we just hate and we kind of we get really frustrated about. It's all the work of the devil at the very end of the day. And remember how these terms, critical theory or cultural Marxism, critical race theory, all these terms are new, but what they are is not new. They are from the beginning, even after the fall and with the devil as the father of the wicked. You remember the idea that we looked at, even that of homosexuality, transgenderism, same-sex attraction, that gender is fluid, that idea, the false idea, all those false ideas, false sin, they are sins. That's the result of cultural Marxism. You can go back to listen to that if you don't remember all about that. And at the same time, some of you may have heard of critical theory. Critical theory is Marxist, which our denomination thankfully rejects, as well, where people have sought and are seeking to look at society structures and power structures to identify issues causing inequity, inequality, and injustice. Right? You hear especially those last two words a lot in our day. Inequality and injustice. And so looking into society and asking, where is there inequity? Where is there injustice? Where is there inequality? And one might say, sounds good, right? That sounds good, right? Because God is a God of justice and we want to get rid of the injustices. We want to get rid of the inequality. Of course we do. It sounds good. Even in the church, one might say, that's good. You might say, that sounds good. That sounds good on the outside. But there's a problem, beloved, with critical theory, that there is a great evil behind critical theory. Even advocates of it deny objective truth. This is kind of at the heart of why you don't understand some of the terms, or even how they are applied today when you hear them, like, that's not what they just said. that's something else. And yet they're using it with a new definition because there's no objective truth. They deny objective truth. That means what? They deny Jehovah. They deny the God of all truth. Exodus 34, and the Lord passed by before him, Moses, and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. And he's the living and true God. So now when you are evangelizing someone and they get heated, and some people do get heated, of course, and they won't embrace objective truth. You go to one thing, and they just don't get it because everything is to do with their experience. And your truth is your truth, and my truth is my truth. It's different. And that's a false teaching, of course. But they get heated. They will not embrace objective truth. They're a result of what? They're a result of critical theory. They're a result of cultural Marxism. This is where it came from. And of course, from Satan. And when you see on the news, we might say CNN. We'd probably all agree, CNN on the news, or whatever whatever news station is, there's really no objective truth, is there, in the news anymore. Even if we ignore where news stations have for, even newspapers and all those where we used to read newspapers, even those from a long time, ignore the fact that they put spin on facts. What used to be pretty factual, we might say. They put spin on it. We'll ignore the spin part. There is no objective truth in the news anymore. And you turn off the news. Well, because it doesn't make any sense to you. And it doesn't. There's no objective truth. There's no logic to it. There's always pushing their own story, forming it to their own narrative. And that's critical theory at work, beloved. And so then what is critical race theory? Beloved, critical race theory is a worldview that under every green tree is racism. Critical race theory says that racism is normal. It is the usual way society does business. And you think of those cases in the last 5 years or so of the shooting, police shootings of individuals, black individuals, the facts don't matter, do they? Right? The objective truth, out the window. Names like George Floyd in Minnesota, Michael Brown in St. Louis, and others, if you read about these events, you would have seen and heard facts. You probably should have if you looked into it at all. But when dealing with that, when society was dealing with that, what do? Those truths, those objective facts don't matter, do they? Riots occurred, a great uproar among the peoples in those places and across the United States and cities because of injustice. A perceived injustice had occurred, and it didn't matter if the objective truth denied that there was injustice. These things happened to black people or non-white people, and therefore we're upset, and this is unjust. And we're going to do something about it. The facts out the window. It doesn't matter. That's critical race theory at work. This morning we are going to learn about this worldview. It is a false religion. It is a new religion. New in ways of terminology and definitions perhaps, but not new in the grand scheme of things. But it's a new religion, we might say. We might say it's a cult. Critical race theory. And then we're going to hear what the Lord says. Critical race theory is a worldview. In this false worldview and religion, it has its own original sin, racism. Its law is anti-racism. Again, that is against racism. But not just I'm against racism. I think hopefully everybody here is against racism. That's not anti-racism. Anti-racism is actively working against racism, actively going out there and doing something about it. The gospel to them is racial reconciliation. But there's really not that. It's kind of funny. They have martyrs for their religion. We have named a couple already, George Floyd, Michael Brown, Trayvon Martin, we can go on and on. It's priests that has religious leaders. They are the oppressed minorities. The means of atonement. Well, how do you atone for this sin of racism? Reparations. And we've talked about that. We'll come back to that. But they have their means of atonement through reparations. That's the only way that this is going to be dealt with rightly. They have regeneration or new birth. Wokeness. I remember 5 or so years ago, it's kind of funny. People would say, well, you're not woke, and it's kind of a joke. Today, it's not a joke anymore. If you're not woke, then you're a racist. Their liturgy, they have a liturgy, is lamenting. Something's always bad. Their scriptures are critical social justice. We're not going to get into that. They have theologians that none of you have probably ever heard of, and their catechism is that you must, quote, if you have heard this before, quote, say their names. That is to say their name. Say the people who have had these injustices done to them. Say their name. Call them out. Like you would say, George Floyd, right? Say their name. That they would have a hearing. That's their catechism. There is no soteriology, that is, there's no salvation. Their worldview offers no salvation. It doesn't offer anything good. Only perpetual self-punishment in an effort to battle an incurable disease. A disease, they say, that everyone here, in this congregation, everyone here has. Because there's no objective truth. All of this may seem like gobbledygook when you hear it, right? You're hearing on the news, you hear it in passing, you hear it wherever you hear it, it seems like it doesn't make any sense. When you hear about it, you may question or ask, what in the world is it? It doesn't make any sense. When you hear about white supremacy, right? You hear about white supremacy today? It's no longer referring to the KKK or neo-Nazis. It's been redefined. That's why it doesn't make sense to you. When you hear about racism today, it's no longer prejudice or discrimination, etc., against someone solely or partially based upon the color of their skin or a particular racial group. Now it's been redefined. That's why when you hear racism, it doesn't make any sense to you. It's because it's been redefined. You look at Webster's Dictionary or Oxford Dictionary, and you'll find they now include both definitions. The definition that you would understand to these phrases or words, and the new definition, the redefinition. One day, we already know, the definition that you know of will be gone. How do they define these things? So if you want to take notes about definitions, this is the place. How do they define things? Whiteness. What is whiteness? Whiteness is a set of privileges granted to white-skinned individuals or groups which is invisible, you can't see them, to those with such privileges. Everything in this false worldview is based upon that false definition. That everything begins with whiteness. Everything has to do with that. And more specifically, the creation of whiteness is for the purpose of establishing white people as the dominant oppressive rulers and all non-white people as the objects of oppression. Now, we don't believe that. Again, that's critical race theory. That's what they say. That's what they believe. But you don't have to be, the funny thing about all this, you don't have to be white in your skin color to have such privilege. It is not about your biology, it's about your ideology. That's why every single person here that I know of is white. It's not really about your skin color at all. It's about your ideology. And more specifically, the creation of whiteness, as we think of this, is to get to, we get to this next definition or next phrase, white privilege. You've heard of that a lot, I'm sure. White privilege. White privilege, their false definition of white privilege says, is a series of unearned advantages that accrue to white people by virtue of their whiteness. Again, just try to grasp these false ideas so you can understand what you're seeing in society today. White people unearned, a series of unearned advantages that accrue to white people by virtue of their whiteness. White supremacy, there's another phrase. What is that? Because you hear about that and you're like, that's not white supremacy when they say that. And that's because they've redefined it. It's not the KKK, it's not neo-Nazism. It's redefined as any belief, behavior, or system. A system being like taxes, jobs, benefits. Any belief, behavior, or system that supports, promotes, or enhances white privilege. And so, that's what white supremacy is. Anything that would enhance white privilege. Which, you can come up with a lot of things that do that. And that's why you keep hearing it a lot. And when we use white supremacy, we're probably referring to those extreme hate groups. We are. But those of this new false religion use that term to capture the all-encompassing dimensions of white privilege, dominance, and assumed superiority in society. So now white supremacy, in critical race theory, white supremacy mirrors the doctrine of total depravity. White supremacy mirrors the doctrine of total depravity. It's not total depravity, but it mirrors it in this false religion. But this depravity is not shared by all humanity by virtue of our union with Adam in Romans 5, but it's limited to a certain people with a certain skin color or an ideology that's like that skin color. So not everyone is totally depraved. And so the gospel, therefore, of this false religion found in the critical race theory, if you don't confess your sin of whiteness, if you don't confess your racism, your white supremacy, your white privilege, there will never be freedom for you. You will always be in bondage of lies and myths, etc. Your original sin or racism that each and every one of you have and are imputed with such guilt in this false worldview and religion is also the unpardonable sin. So really, you have no hope. There's no gospel. There's no salvation. No matter what you do, you have no hope. Racism is now redefined as a system of advantage based on race, involving cultural messages, misuse of power, and institutional bias, in addition to the racist beliefs and actions of individuals. But critical race theory doesn't deal with the hearts of men and women. It addresses institutions and structures. The church is a structure, an institution. Government is the same. Workforce, that's another one. It's dealing with those things, not hearts. Now, beloved, if you do not accept their false worldview, not all, everything we just pretty much went over is false. None of that is true. If you don't accept their false worldview, this false gospel, this false religion of critical race theory, then what they would say is that you're engaged in racism. If you don't accept their false worldview, you're engaged in racism. Their system puts you in a no-win situation. You are always wrong. You are always a white supremacist. You're always in a white supremacist situation. And you know how far this has gone to affect our society when it comes into the church, right? Some of you are familiar with Together for the Gospel Conference. Some of you have heard of that. It's pretty much a Reformed-esque, light Reformed, Baptist, mostly Baptist and Presbyterian conference that goes on every 2 years, I believe. And they have people that you have heard of. Most of you have heard of John Piper, Mark Dever, Al Mohler, Ligon Duncan. People like that. Ligon Duncan was my seminary professor. One of the speakers in 2018 David Platt defined racism there at that time. He said, it is a system in which race, and specifically white and black skin colors, profoundly affects people's economic, political, and social experiences. That is, skin color affects people's economic, political, and social experiences. And that definition, beloved, is part of critical race theory. It's part of the anti-racist false worldview. And that's at a light reformed conference. A professor at Southern Seminary. Southern Seminary, 10 years ago, was a Calvinistic seminary. Al Mohler is president there. Al Mohler's pretty good for a Baptist. And one of the professors there said that race and racial reconciliation are soteriological issues. So that is salvation issues, right? And so what he's saying is that if you fail to adopt critical race theory, if you fail to elevate the preaching of the false gospel of anti-racism to that same level as the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the true gospel of the Scripture, then you are preaching a false gospel if you don't do that. The critical race theory crowd. This is ironic, isn't it, though? Since the anti-racist, right, you're actively engaged in against racism. The critical race theory is another way to say that. If you're not preaching that gospel of false gospel of anti-racism, then you're preaching a false gospel, is what they say. And so you're not preaching a gospel at all. And this is ironic, since anti-racists, the critical race theory crowd, abandoned the gospel. They only have law. There is no good news. It is only condemnation. So then what does the Lord say? If God is the God of all truth, for He alone is the living and true God, what does He say? We can start in our passage in verse 26. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. He determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. That is, He eternally decreed before the foundation of the world where people would live. Even after the Tower of Babel, right? And they spread out because of the confusion of languages. And that's why today we have people of different skin colors. But He says here, I have made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. The same blood in my veins is the same blood in your veins. It is red. And from this one blood came all men. From Adam. Then the Lord created Adam. It says God hath made. He made us. And we are His. God is wonderful in all His works, but especially in the work of man. That we would lift up our eyes unto Him and worship and serve Jehovah, and all descend from Adam by ordinary generation, like we say in our catechism, by ordinary birth. So too we descend from Noah and his family after the flood, the only family that was there after the flood. And those who are espousing that new religion then of critical race theory or anti-racist, that you heard it, that depravity exists only by those who have a certain skin color. They believe that people of a certain skin color are to be exalted over people of a different skin color. Which is, of course, again, ironic, for they're supposed to be fighting against that. Right. Beloved, there's only one race, the human race, made of God, of one blood, all nations. And this is what we learn here. Malachi 2 asks rhetorically, have we not all one Father? Have not one God created us? We all have the same Creator, Jehovah. What about the injustices and inequity, etc.? Well, how is justice and righteousness and equity defined? In critical race theory, it is defined by man. But these words, justice, righteousness, equity, these things, are not defined by man. They are not defined by the academic world. It's not defined by society. It's defined by the God of all truth and His Word. And when people come and they say, this is unjust, this is not fair, you take them to God's Word to see if that's true. Psalm 89, before the Lord, for He cometh to judge the earth with righteousness, shall He judge the world and the people with equity. You know, the book of Proverbs begins, chapter 1 there, saying, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. It's there in God's Word. Later in Proverbs, it says that those who pursue wisdom shall understand righteousness and judgment and equity. Yea, every good path. Yea, over and over we see in this critical race theory and anti-racism is that they're not after true justice. They're not after true equity. But they are in it to get something out of it. They're in it to get a payment back. Reparations. They want to be repaid for the injustices, that is, perceived injustices, to themselves or their ancestors or to their place in life, or if they don't get it, then they'll destroy everything, right? That's why we have riots. They're trying to tear down the society structures. And so they riot and destroy society structures that they say privileged white people have must be destroyed. But there's no building up. There's no solution to their problem, to the problem. It's just destruction is necessary. And so, you don't understand why there's riots is because of critical theory, cultural Marxism, critical race theory. It's because of the devil. What describes this generation in our day is exactly what it says in Isaiah 59. It says, we roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, for there is none. But there is none. For salvation, but it is far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth. And he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. In other words, everything in our society is backwards, beloved. There is no justice, there's no righteousness among men. Men have sought for it for themselves and by themselves, but they have not turned to the Lord. Why would they do that? They have turned to those principles they learned in school. Those principles that have driven them from the church. And so they look to themselves, which means taking justice into their own hands. And when fighting racism, they become racists. Who is they? Anti-racists. Those who embrace critical race theory. They're fighting injustice, but justice is alone found in the Lord. And so in fighting injustice, they employ injustice. For if the justice is not found in the Lord, it is not justice, it is injustice. They're fighting inequity, but equity is alone found in the Lord. And so in fighting inequity, they employ inequity. For if the equity is not found in the Lord, it is not equity, it is inequity. They're fighting racism, and we know that God made of one blood all nations. All nations, so in fighting racism, they actually employ racism, for they deny that God is made of one blood all nations. They deny those wonderful scriptures of hope. When this world filled with sin due to the fall and many injustices, they deny the hope of Revelation 7 and Romans 11. Revelation 7 says, and after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. They have no hope because they don't turn to the God in Christ, right, for hope. That Isaiah passage we just read that really describes society today continues with the true gospel. We left off with, Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And it continues, And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, to the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion. And unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord, As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My Spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. They're offered salvation by a Redeemer in Christ, but they go on with their false way. The great wickedness of critical race theory is described in Proverbs 6. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. That describes critical race theory, or the religion, false religion of critical race theory, to a T. All these describe the movement, the worldview of anti-racism. But there is a Redeemer. There is a Redeemer found in Christ alone. Critical race theory looks at the outer appearance. 1 Samuel 16, For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. 1 John 2 says, But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. And so that's not the way. Critical race theory, anti-racism is false. Do not get sucked into it. Do not get sucked into it. Into its mindset. Into its worldview. It's false. There's many people who desire to see in the churches people of all skin colors in the church. And usually you see in churches there's one skin color, right? Generally speaking. And praise the Lord of His work here. But in general, you see that. And you see a desire to see a reconciling, an inviting of other skin-colored people into a congregation. And there's a desire for that. And where that happens, some Christians get sucked into critical race theory. They get sucked in. Churches sucked in. And I'm afraid I've even seen it, perhaps, and one or two ministers in our denomination. The Southern Baptist Convention in the last few years exalted in this false religion. It's exalting in it. We must know what we are up against. We are up against who? The devil. But our God is greater. The devil, this is his design. These are his servants. And it's only in Christ Jesus that we have a Redeemer who brings us to a true lasting freedom from sin and bondage. through His life, death, and resurrection. He grants us to fight against the devil, His own armor. The breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation. Right, Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And the devil is using this nation, using our leaders, using our schools, using the churches even, to bring this about. What can we do? We put on the full armor of God. We looked at the full armor of God before many of you were here. But basically, the full armor of God is sola scriptura. Every part of it has to do with and is found in God's Word. Scripture alone is the final, lasting, eternal authority. Micah 6, verse 8. I remember when racial reconciliation talks in churches started when I was in college. That was like 2000, in the early 2000s. Everybody was quoting this verse, Micah 6, 8. He has showed thee, O man, what is good. What doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love and to love mercy, to walk humbly with thy God. But what is justice? How is justice defined? Justice is defined by the righteousness of God. And where is the righteousness of God defined? It is found in His Word and the law, which is perfect. It's not found in man. We often look for justice in man, but it is not found in man. The only hope that this nation has and the church has in America of survival is to exalt in the Lord God alone, whose name is Jehovah. To proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified and risen from the dead. We are not to give in. We will not give in to the false religion and doctrine of critical race theory. It is of the devil. If you give in to it, you're going after the ways of the devil. Satan. You can see this in its contradictions to the very Word of God. And so what should we do? The very first thing we have to do is keep praying. Our nation is in great trouble. We've kind of covered that a lot recently. Our nation has judgments coming against it from the Lord. And these things that we're discussing today are part of that which is being used to destroy this nation and others. And it will be used to destroy congregations as well. And it is in the process of doing so. But we must hold true to the Word of God alone and turn ourselves unto the Lord Jesus Christ. What will that mean? That will probably mean persecution. You see that very much so. You saw that in this last year when there were riots. There's a man who owns a deli in Chicago. Did somebody bring that up? Nichols family brought that up. He's a Christian man, right? Christian man. And he was told to, I think, say the name, right? So use that phrase, like critical race theory, you know, and fight against, do something actively against racism. He refused to do so. And he was forced out, and he's moved now, right? Persecution is coming. None of us here will look down upon another because of the color of their skin. We are all of one blood. It is great wickedness to do so. We're all made in the image of God. We never covered that text in Genesis. Every single one of us made in the image of God. Knowledge, righteousness, and holiness with dominion over the creatures, our catechism says. Then after the fall, man has sinned against Almighty God and looked down upon others. And looking to the outward appearance of man only. But our God does not. He looks at the heart. Well, so what's in your heart today? What's in your heart today? Do you really love the Lord? You're going to be tested to figure out if you really do. The Lord wants your heart. And so give it to Him. Come unto Christ, turning from the world and the ways of the world to Christ Jesus alone. You keep looking under the sun. Well, turn now before it's too late. Before you're in such a hold on you, there's such a hold on you from the world and darkness. that you can't get out of it, because now the critical race theory and the cultural Marxism is infiltrating you and trying to destroy you, and you can't get out because you still have those remaining sins. Put the death sin today and turn above the Son to Jesus, who speaks His Word in the Scriptures. And He says in the Scriptures, "See that ye refuse not Him that speaketh," in Hebrews. "For if they escape not Him who refused Him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from Him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now He hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven." And this word, "yet once more," signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. "Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire." We turn to Christ, we pray, we put on the armor of God. We'll read that passage, Ephesians 6. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Now don't just pray about the nation and for yourself, pray for the saints as well. Beloved, the Lord offers to you a Redeemer. And to those who turn from their transgressions by the Holy Spirit, to them He will grant salvation through Christ alone, by grace, through faith alone. Critical race theory or anti-racism offers to you only law and condemnation, just like every single other religion and cult in the world, where you don't measure up and you never will. You will always be racist. But our God is made of one blood, all nations. And where our lives are continually pulled towards sin and the world's ways, great burdens. And all of it, Jesus, of course, says in Matthew's Gospel, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Come unto me. Jesus offers the good news of grace and mercy and true justice in Him alone. Blessing forever and hope for the oppressed. Come unto Jesus for your life and for your salvation. Let's pray. Our Father, we give You praise. We are thankful for Your Word, because Your Word is truth. And we would be living in the lives of false living and in lies and turned away from You forever if we did not have Your Word. And yet You've provided it for us, and You've spoken it to us. May we be men and women and children of the Word, built up by You and the Holy Spirit and the Gospel. And Father, we express and acknowledge that the armor of God that You call us to put on is Your armor. It is armor of You. And so, Father, by Your Spirit, clothe us with that armor. Put it upon us. Grant it to us, that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the great deceiver of many. May we not be deceived, but may we be those recipients of the truth of Jesus Christ. We pray in His name. Amen.